Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to Option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Please note that today's shiur begins at the top line of Vav Omud Beis. In our previous shiur, it was necessary for us to spill over from Daf Hey onto Daf Vav so as to complete the idea under discussion. Here at the top of Vav Omud Beis, we have a topic heading and structural note that you'll note at the side of the Gemara, and we indicate that this goes until the end of Daf Zayin Omud Aleph. The diamond highlights Sidra Shel She'elois, a series of questions, lelo tshuvos, without answers. Questions are raised, Haim Yesh Yad Lidvorim Achirim. The concept of Yad has preoccupied us in the last couple of shiurim, and we're noting here a partial statement, partial dedication, with regard to other areas of halacha. Up till now, we've been discussing the concept of a yad by nedarim. If a person vows, makes a vow, whereby he accepts upon himself some type of restriction, or he attempts to restrict something to others, and he uses a partial expression. What about the use of a partial expression regarding other areas of halacha? We've listed them here. Number one, kiddushin, having to do with marriage. Number two, peah, that's the mitzvah of leaving a corner of one's field unharvested for the benefit of the poor. Number three, tzedakah, the topic of charity. Number four, hefker, the declaration of something as being now unowned. Someone relinquishes his ownership of something. And number five, beis hakiseh, that has to do with a bathroom, a dedicating a room or earmarking or assigning a room, specifying a room as being for that particular use. And you'll see the halachic implications of such a dedication or such a designation. The double underline is used to simply highlight the repeat expression, boy Rav Papa. Rav Papa raises these questions. Let us now turn to the Gemara itself. Boy Rav Papa. By way of commentaries, let us glance at the Ran commentary at the top line. Boy Rav Papa, yesh yad l'kiddushin v'chulei, afilu biyad mochiach kol mibayalei. Up till now, in our previous shiur, hopefully everyone has listened to that previous shiur, you saw quite an extensive discussion regarding a partial expression that was called yad she'eino mochiach, that didn't have total clarity. In other words, it was an expression that could have been interpreted as referring to something else, or was simply unclear. This Gemara, according to the Ran, is investigating even with a clear expression. The issue is raised. Mi amrinon? Do we say nihi delo israblu yodos behedya? Gamrino b'ma motzino b'minadorim? That even though yodos was not revealed in an explicit fashion, that partial expressions are always effective. Nevertheless, maybe we can learn through logical comparison to the realm of vows. Just like in the realm of vows, if a person uses a partial expression that has clarity, it is binding. So too in other areas. Ein yad afilu v'afilu mochiach, or no, partial expressions are not binding in other areas. The nedarim shiny, the chamiri, vows are different because they are of a serious, strict stringent nature. With regard to vows, the whole nature of a vow is speech. That even with something as ephemeral, as abstract, as non-tangible, as speech, nevertheless, it is binding. Mashen king bekidushin, as opposed to, let us say, something like an offering of marriage, shehein tzricha meiza maisa, some action is required. Kesef, oshtar, obia, handing cash to the woman, or a writing of a document, or intimacy. You see that other areas, kedushin, for example, requires some action. Therefore, maybe a mere partial speech is not going to be effective. Let us glance also at the Tosfos commentary, Yesh Yad L'Kiddushin, at the very beginning of the Tosfos commentary, Teima, Mehecha Tesi Yad L'Kiddushin. Where would you even begin to think that there should be such a phenomenon? V'lo b'nedorim le'adinan yad, elo midiskush nedorim le'nazirus. Even by nedorim, I don't know of the existence of a partial expression as being binding, other than the fact that it's compared to Nazirus, Kamrin Liel, as we have learned earlier. Vim Kain, Aminon, and if that be the case, that the concept of Yad is purely scriptural, and we've seen it only in the case of Nazir and Nedorim by virtue of the fact that it's compared to Nazir, I would have said, Hecha de Goli Goli, Hecha de Lo Goli Lo Goli, where the Torah reveals such a phenomenon as Yad. Fine, it's revealed. Where it's not revealed, it doesn't exist. And regarding the other topics that will be forthcoming, Peah and Staka, the only reason we're considering the possibility of a Yad is because the topics of Peah and Staka are compared to Korbonus meaning sacrifices, which falls under the realm of Nidorim, of vows. And so there's a scriptural reference for those things. But what about Kiddushin? What about marriage? Where's the basis for even raising this as a question? So Tosfos answers, V'yesh lomar de Kiddushin nami, with regard to marriage as well, came unto osar la kuli almo kehekdish, since when a man marries a woman, as far as the woman's further marriage possibility, she is completely forbidden. She is considered like an item that's sanctified. She is sanctification imparts prohibition on the item that was sanctified. So too, marriage imparts prohibition upon the woman with regard to marrying anyone else. L'kach misaf galon d'shemo yesh yad l'kiddushin kamo hegdish. Therefore, there's room for raising the question. Maybe there is yad for kiddushin for marriage purposes, as we find the yad in the case of hekdesh. Now let us turn to the Gemara. Top line, we continue with Rav Papa's question: Yesh yad likiddushin oy loy. Notice, by the way, that this is presented as a long question. In fact, if you scan ahead on this page, you'll see that the whole page is comprised of basically two questions. So, is there Yad L'Kiddushin? Well, hey Chidomi, first of all, what do you mean by Yad L'Kiddushin? You'll notice you have some dashed underlining. These are stages in trying to figure out what are the circumstances to begin with. Before we can even analyze whether or not there's a Yad L'Kiddushin, we have to know what are the circumstances of the question. So, if you're going to suggest a man said to a woman, Hare at mekudeshes li. He says, gives her money, and he says, you are, of course, the woman has to agree, but he says, with this money that you're receiving, you are married to me. The Omar Lechaverta, and the man continues speaking to a woman standing by her side, and says, V'at Nami. Well, that's not a question. Pshita, it's obvious that the second woman is married as well. A man is entitled to marry multiple wives. So in such a case, it's obvious that the second woman is married. Dehainu kiddushin atzmon, that's not a yad, that's actual kiddushin. A yad is a partial expression. This is a full-fledged offering of marriage to the second woman as well. Elo kagon diyomar lo liisha, rather the circumstances behind Rav Papa's question are as follows. He said to a woman, Hariat Mekadesh Isli, the same expression as we saw before. V'yomer lo lechaverta ve'at. And he says to the bystander woman, the woman standing next to her, he says, and you. Mi amrinon, do we say, V'at nami omer lo lechaverta ve'tafsi bo kiddushin lechaverta? That the expression of v'at in that context is tantamount to v'at nami, and you too, you as well, and the kiddushin would take hold with regard to the second woman as well, oidilmo, or maybe v'at chazoi omer lo lechaverta, that he's saying to the second woman, and you are seeing what I've done with the first woman. V'lo tafsi bo kiddushin b'chaverta, and if that's the intention of v'at, that you're simply, and you're seeing what I'm doing, so there's no kiddushin with regard to the second woman. You notice that we have a bracketed section that follows now. On the side we have a note, a starred note, which reads, Sograyim elu einom l'shem dilug. The purpose of these brackets is not for skipping purposes. Elomarim dikura shelo estaimo. Simply to show that up till this point, the basic question has been asked. B'socha sograyim gemorim varas lomar apopo shual shelazu. Within the brackets, the Gemara raises a question on the question, namely, why did Rav Papa ask this question? In light of the fact that from another context, it seems that Rav Papa has no doubt about it. Rather, it's clear to Rav Papa that there is a Yad Li Kiddushin. So if it's clear to Rav Papa that there's a Yad Li Kiddushin, then why is he raising the question over here? So now, that having been said, let's read the bracketed section. Omi meboye lei. Is this something, the issue of Yad Li Kiddushin, is this something that Rav Papa needs to ask about? From the fact that Rav Papa said elsewhere to Abaye, quote, Mi sovar Shmuel yodayim she'ein mochichois havyon yodayim. Does Shmuel hold that Yodayim Shein Mochichos, the topic that we had in our previous year, and we have to note that this is a question that's raised regarding Kiddushin. That's a point that the Ran is quick to make. And you see this also in Rashi, that the fact that Rav Papa's asking Abai, does Shmuel hold regarding Kiddushin Yodayim Shein Mochichos? Partial phrases that are not absolutely clear, do they constitute yodayim? Michlal the svira leil Rav Papa. It then would seem clear that Rav Papa is of the opinion deyesh yad likidushin, that if it was an issue of a clear yad, a clear partial expression, that it would exist, that there is such a thing as a yad likidushin. So, you see that Rav Papa has no doubt about the existence of a Yad Legabi Kiddushin. All his question was that, what about a Yad that's not clear, a partial expression that's not clear? So why is Rav Papa at the top of the page asking a basic question, is there a Yad, even if it is clear, is there Yad Likiddushin? The Gemara answers, Chado Migo my desvira le l'Shmuel, Omar le la'Abaye. And we'll take the simple approach to this answer by simply looking in first we'll look at the Rashi commentary. Chada migo my desvira le l'Shmuel komar le la'Abaye. D'ochi komar. This is what. This is really what Rav Papa was asking. Mi svira lei l'Shmuel diyesh yad l'kiddushin. Does Shmuel hold that there is a yad at all, even if it's clear? Does he hold that there is such a thing as a yad l'kiddushin? V'im tim salomar diyesh lahen yad. And if you conclude that yes, he agrees there is a yad, mi bo'inon yodai mochichos alo. Does it have to be a clear type of yad or not? Boi Rav Popa. Now here, structurally speaking, the Ran adds another dimension, as you'll see on the third line under the Gemara text, Boi Rav Popa, Yesh Yad Lepeya, Klomar. In Tinsa Lomar Bekidushin, Ein Yad. If you take the position that regarding Kiddushin, there isn't a Yad, after all, it's not compared to Nedarim at all. Peah, the Iskish Mai. What about Peah? The mitzvah of leaving a corner of one's field unharvested for the benefit of the poor. This is a mitzvah that, as far as the Torah is concerned, you can see that it's compared to Nedarim, compared to the realm of Nedarim. What about Yad by Peah? And once again, structurally, you can see by just this glancing ahead at the Gemara, we have to first figure out what the Gemara is, what's the case of the Gemara to begin with. So we have, again, a similar marking system as we saw before. It's a two-stage construction before we can even understand what the circumstances of the question are. So Gemara asks, Hechi Domi, what is the case of Yad by Peah? I lema di omar hodein ugya leve Peah v'hodein nami. As far as what the word ugya means, Rashi says it refers to a field. The Ran and the Rosh say it refers to a furrow. So if you say, like the Ran and the Rosh, a person says, I want this furrow or row of plants to be Peah, the Hodeinami, and this one also, Hahi Peah Malyusi, that's full-fledged Peah, that's a full-fledged declaration of the second row being Peah as well. Ki kome bayale, kigol damar v'hodein. Velo omar nami, mai. If the person says, after saying, I want this row of grain to be Peah, the hodein, and this one. But it doesn't say this one also, it says, and this one. Mai, what is the halacha? Notice we have a bracketed section. On the side, we have a starred note, Sagraim L'Shem Diluk. Here, the brackets are for skipping purposes. B'socha Sagraim, Agmor Ma'ala She'elo B'inyin Peah U'mitaretzis. Agmor will ask a question regarding Peah and answer the question, but to keep the logical flow of the Gemara clear, we skip the brackets initially. So we know at least the circumstances. A person dedicated a particular row of his field as Peah, to a row that will be left unharvested for the benefit of the poor. And he says, Vehodein, and this one, referring to apparently a second row. We're skipping the brackets. Mi Amrinon, four lines from the bottom. Mi Amrinon, Kevon de Iskish le Korbonus. Since Peah is compared to sacrifices, which is the realm of Nedarim, which we'll see later, that idea that it's compared. We'll ask, where is it compared? Since it's compared to Korbonos, Ma Korbonos Yeshlem Yad, just like the realm of sacrifices, we know that there is a Yad, the sacrifice being Nedarim. Af Peah Yeshlo Yad. So to Peah will be able to be dedicated through a partial expression. Oidilmo, or possibly, ki iskish, when do we say that there is a comparison between Peah and Korbonos? Lebal ta'achir hu diskish. It's compared only with regard to the prohibition of delaying. This topic of Baal Tacher we've seen in previous shurim. We've mentioned that if a person, let us say, dedicates a sacrifice, he had better bring it before a certain deadline. There are many different opinions as to what that deadline is, but delaying beyond the deadline, the most common example of deadline is the passage of the three regalim, the three major pilgrimage holidays. If one had dedicated the bringing of a sacrifice and he doesn't come through, so he's over on Baal Tacher, he's in violation of Baal Tacher. Of Tacher means to delay. Baal means not to delay. So it could be that only with regard to delaying in the Peah tithe would there be a problem, but regarding Yad, there is no comparison. there is a comment made by the Ran. You'll notice about six lines from the bottom, there's a starred comment. Even though there's a well-known principle, Ein Hekish Lemechza, when we say that things are compared or scripturally compared because of their juxtaposition in the Torah, we don't say partial comparison. And here we are suggesting partial comparison. Here we're saying that the comparison of Peah might be only with regard to one aspect of Korbanos, namely the Isur of Baal Ta'acher. So how is that here we're saying Hekish Lemechza when in general we don't say that? Shiny Peah. Peah is different. The Loksiva Behedya. It's not written explicitly. Midrash Asya, it's figured through drash, through biblical exegesis. Hilkoch Iko Lemeimar the Ein Lo Yada Filu Mochiach. Therefore, that leaves room to say that maybe there isn't a Yad Peah, even if it's clear. So now, let's go back over the Gemara. The question has been presented, and we had a bracketed section that we skipped. In the brackets, the Gemara says, Michlal, this would imply, the fact that we're asking the question the way we did, this would imply, Dechi Omar Sode Kula Teve Peah, Havya Peah, that if he would dedicate his entire field as Peah, would it take hold? Would his entire field become Peah? Now, you'll ask yourself, Where does the Gemara get this feeling that if he were to say that his entire field should be Peah, that it's Peah? Up till now, using the Ran's explanation, we were speaking about a row becoming Peah. So here, in order to understand this question, we look at the Ran himself on the fourth widest line, the end of the line, Michlal de'i Omar teve sode kula Peah havi kula Peah devadai Rav Papa b'chayi gavla kumbet bayalei. It's obvious, says the Ran, that Rav Papa's question is being asked in this fashion. That the first row that he dedicated had within it the minimum quantity to fulfill Peah. If the first row didn't have the minimum quantity to constitute Peah, afilu Im Tim Tzolomar Ein Yad LePeah Peah Masihi. Even if you were to say there is no such thing as a partial Peah dedication, in such a case, the second row would definitely be Peah. The Vaday Kivin Shisul Asas Peah, since the man started leaving Peah, Kiyomar V'Hadein LeGomron Nisgavin. Since he said V'Hadein, his intention is to finish the basic amount. Elavaday Kivin Ikashir Peah Bekamaisa Mi Bayalei. Therefore, we're talking about a case where the first row had the minimum amount with which to fulfill the Peah requirement. Therefore, when he says Vehodain and this one, it sounds like the whole field could be made into Peah. Is that a reality? So the Gemara says, we continue back in the Gemara text, in V'hatanya, yes, and we'll bring support to that. Minayin shimrotza, shimroitza lasis kosadeo Peah. From where do we know that if a person wants to dedicate his entire field as Peah, I say he could do so. Talmud lomar pa'as sadecha. And we understand that, as Rashi says, this means to say that the whole field could become Peah. So we had raised the question, is there a Yad LePeah or not? Is how far does the comparison to Korbanos go? Does it include regarding the issue of Yad, or is it limited to the issue of Baal Ta'achir? Once again, we see a bracketed section, and there's a starred note on the side, which says that Sograim Elu Einom L'Shem Diluk. Here we're not coming to skip. We're here to show only that the basic question has ended up till this point. Within the bracketed section, we have background information. The Gemara had presented as a given that payah is compared to korbanos. So the Gemara asks, the bottom line in the brackets, Peheicha Iskish, where is that comparison? Answer, Desanya. We have a Tanaic source which opens with a Pasuk, essentially one word from the Pasuk. The Rashi quotes the more of the Pasuk towards its entirety. The word, Me'imoch, Zeleket Shekol Peah. Now, in order to appreciate how that shows a comparison to sacrifices, we must look at Rashi on the top. The Pasuk says as follows. You can see the quote, Hisidor neder l'Hashem Elokecha lo sachel l'shamo ki tidroish yidrushenu Hashem Elokecha me'imoch. So, now this Pasuk spoke about Hisidor neder l'Hashem. That is a standard vow. And the standard vow of the Torah, your basic vow, is a vow to bring a sacrifice. And in that Pasuk it says, you shall, one who vows to bring a sacrifice shall not delay its bringing. And as the Pasuk went on to say, Ki doro yishishar Hashem Elokecha me'imoch. And that word me'imoch is a reference. It's a reference to payah. So the Gemara on the top line mentioned other tithes that leket shikol peah. Those are all different kinds of tithes that are left for the poor in the course of harvesting a field. So as we said in our introduction, once again we have another question that is left as a question, no answer given. Here the Gemara continues with yesh yad litztaka o ein yad litztaka. We should take a look at the Ran on the Vav Amid Beis. Again, what the Ran does is he deals with the structure of these questions. Are these questions viewed as a continuum of the previous questions, or is this an independent question? The Ran actually has two opinions on that topic. And he prefers that the question of tzedakah is not a question that follows from the previous discussion, but is an independent question. So we continue with that. Yesh, we go back into the Gemara. Yesh yad litztaka, ein yad litztaka. Well, once again, hechidomi, we've got to clarify what are the circumstances before we can even begin analyzing the question. Ilema diamar hadein zuzo litztaka vade nami. Hodein, an Aramaic word meaning this, Zuza, this coin I'm dedicating for tztaka, and this one also. Well, that's not a question. Hahu tztaka atzmi, that's actual tztaka. And we're asking about a person who dedicates something using a partial expression. Elo kegoin diomar v'hodein v'lo omar nami, my. Rather, he dedicated a specific coin to charity, and he said, regarding another coin, he said v'hodein. But he didn't say nami, nami meaning also. So my. Hodein nami tztaka komar is his intention to say that this coin also should be for tztaka. Oy dilma, my vehodein. What does the and this one mean? Lenafkuso bi alma komar vediburuhu talo aske. He's saying regarding the second coin, this one is for my own expenses. And he simply didn't finish off his statement. He just said Vodain without saying Vodain Lenafkusa. He just said Vodain, but his intention might very well be for something other than Stoka. And now the Gemara continues giving a basis for asking this question. Mi Amrinon Kevan de Iskish with Korbonus Dechsiv Beficha. Since it's compared, since tztaka is compared to korbanos, you'll notice this is pasuk chof dalid. It's in the same proximity as the pasuk that we cited before in Dvarim Perek chof gimel. There we cited pasuk chof beis, but it's one continuum of sukkim where the pasuk. Sukkim began with a reference to korbanos, and we know that there's a yad l'korbanos. So since beficha appears in that context, and beficha is a reference to the giving of tzedakah. If you're interested, you'll notice in the Rashi on the third line from the top, Tichtiv b'ficha, the pasuk says kasher dibarta b'ficha, and on the side we included a little more. The pasuk says moitzas svasecha tishmar, nedava asher dibarta b'ficha. This has to do with the utterances of one's mouth. One must abide by it, and he must give that which he spoke orally. And Rashi cites, Rashi adds another pasuk that b'ficha, you can see as a reference to tzedakah by looking at a pasuk in Yeshaya, yotza mipi tzedakah. So b'ficha is a reference to tzedakah. And we saw that b'ficha, which is tzedakah, is compared to korbanos. Ma korbanos yesh lem yad, ach tzedakah yesh lo yad. Do we say just that just like by sacrifices, the concept of yad is binding, so too with regard to tzedakah? Or do we say that tzedakah is compared to korbanos only with regard to the issue of delay? Meaning if a person dedicated some coins at tzedakah, he had better give it quickly to the poor who are the recipients of it. And if not, he would be guilty of baal ta'acher. We ask another question. Yesh yad lehefker. O dilmo ein yad lehefker. Hefker is the declaring as unowned something that you had previously been the owner of. So you're removing your ownership from it, you're declaring it unowned. Do we say that in a hefker declaration, that a partial expression is sufficient? So notice, by the way, that the issue here is a sort of a long question. The Gemara asks, well, why are you asking the question about hefker? Hainut stok, is it not the same thing as stoka? After all, when something is declared unowned, people, the poor, have access to it, can take it. The Gemara says, understand it as follows. Im timtzalomar ko'omar. The structure of the Gemara here is in the im timtzalomar fashion. And what that means is explained here. Im timtzalomar yesh yad litzdoka, dein hekesh lemechsa. If you say conclusively that there is definitely a yad litzdoka, because of the concept we had mentioned earlier, that ein hekesh lemechsa, we don't have, we'll say, partial comparisons. That if there's a scriptural comparison, so you got to go all the way. And since tzedakah is compared to sacrifices, and we know by sacrifices there is a yad, so too by tzedakah. Hefker, however, mi amrinon hainu tzedakah. Do we say that hefker is essentially a subsection of tzedakah? It is tzedakah. Oh, dilma shaini tzedakah. Or maybe, no, the hefker is not the same as tzedakah. The tzedakah l'chazi l'aniyim. Charity is fit only for the poor. Aval hefker, when something is declared unowned, bein l'aniyim, bein l'ashirim. It's available, it's open to not only the poor but to the well-to-do as well. So there is yet room for asking, is there a yad lehefker? Boi ravina yesh yad lebeis hakisei olo. Again, we have a long marking. All of these lines constitute the question. Of course, you will notice if you scan ahead, a significant part of this is in brackets. So the question that Ravina asks is, yesh yad lebeis hakisei oiloi. Now, just by way of background, a beis hakisei is a bathroom, and let's say a functioning bathroom is a place in which that one is not allowed to pray therein. It's prohibited to daven, to pray, to mispalel, in a functioning bathroom. That's just a basic given that one should know ahead of time. The Gemara will point out on the fourth wide line that by raising this question, is there a yad, meaning a partial dedication or designation? Designation is a more appropriate term here. A partial designation, partial meaning phrasing wise, a partial phrased dedication or designation of a room to serve as a bathroom. It must be that if you have a full-blown, clear designation whereby a person says, I want this room to be a bathroom, even if it hasn't been used yet, even if it's we're dealing with a new building, a new apartment, a new flat, a new house, and you have just walls up and you haven't done anything more than that, and you simply designate a room to be the bathroom with a very clear, unabridged expression, that certainly would be binding. And then from that point on, you wouldn't be able to pray in that room, even though it hasn't been used yet. So that seems to be an assumption that's being made over here. So if we make that assumption for the time being, we can then appreciate this question, that if a full-blown, unabridged designation is binding and thereby would restrict prayer from that room, what about a partial designation? I mean, if the phrase itself is partial. So Ravina asks the question, Yesha, the basic, he said, oh, hey, chidomi, what are the circumstances? The word besa is often translated as a house. It can also refer to a room in this context. So if you're talking about a person that's standing near, say, a few rooms, and he says, I want this room to be a bathroom, and this one also, well, besa kisei nami havi, that's a clear designation of the second room as being a bathroom as well. That wouldn't be a point that Ravina would ask about. That wouldn't be the circumstances of his question. He said, and this one, without saying, and this one also, my, what is the intention of the speaker? Do we say that after dedicating room number one as a bathroom and then saying Hodain, he means to say, and this one also, Dilma, or possibly my Hodain, the Tashmisha Bialmo Komar. And this one, this room, oh, it's for some other purpose. Note the fact that we have brackets on the side of the Gemara Sagraim Elu. The point is that up till this point, the main question has been asked. How can Ravina ask this question concerning Yad if the basic issue of room designation or bathroom designation itself is not something that Ravina is so clear on? As we indicated before, in order to ask the question of Yesh Yad LeBeis HaKisei or not, you have to be working with an assumption that a clear, unabridged designation would be binding and hence restrictive. By the way, right after the brackets, you'll notice it says Tiboyale. The question remains unanswered. The word tiboile is like you see the word teku in other masechtes. Here in Maseches Nedarim, you find unusual expressions from time to time, and that observation you can see in Tosfos at the end of the narrow lines. Tiboilach, he says, kemo pirush kemo teku v'loshen Nedarim mishuna. The language of this masechta is a little different, is unusual. Now, let's go back to the Gemara we pointed out the issue dealt with within the brackets. Now let's see it in the text. On the fourth wide line, by the fact that Ravina is asking the question, is there a yad lebeis hakiseh, michal de pshita le Ravina, diesh zimun lebeis hakiseh. It must be that it's obvious to Ravina that there is a designation power with regard to beis hakiseh. How can that, but how can you say that it's pshita, that it's obvious to Ravina, v'ha mibaya lei l'Ravina? Ravina has been known to even to ask that as well, to raise that as something that's, that we can question, that we can debate. Hazminu l'beis hakiseh mahu. People who designated a room to be a beis hakiseh, what is the din? Zimun moyel o ein zimun moyel. Does the designation help? Is it effective? Is it binding? Or maybe not? So if the issue of basic hazmona is something that Ravina is not clear about, why is he asking about yad, about a partial an expression, an abridged designation? The Gemara answers, yes, you've got a good point. Ravina chado migo chado komi bayale. Ravina is asking really one question that follows from the other question, and it's as follows: zimun moyel o ein zimun moyel. Does designation and the unabridged clear designation of a room as a bathroom, is that effective or not? And if you conclude that zimun is effective, designation of a room as a bathroom is binding, now yeshiyad o ein yad. What about a partial or abridged phrasing of the designation? Is that binding or not? And with regard to this, tebo'i lei, this remains, a question remains unresolved. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.